The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun Aleph. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied La'atzlachat Hayale Saval Yisrael Ha'omdim Al Mishmar Arzenu Ve'al Are Eloheinu Megibul Lebanon Ve'ad Levo Ha'araba Ve'yabasha Ba'avir U'bayam. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should deliver us a victory from our enemies, and Bezat Hashem, the residents of Eretz Yisrael, especially in the north, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give them protection. Kemosh Ne'emar, Hine Lo Yanum Velo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Aleph Amud Rishon, and we are going to start four lines from the top. I just want to make a quick summary of the subjects that we discussed on yesterday's daf. Our Gemara on the Amud Bet discussed one question that Rabbi Elazar asked. According to the opinion that says the part of Yom Kippurim of the Kohen Gadol is considered a Korban Yahid, is it subject to the rules of Temura or not? Again, Temura would mean that you're able to transfer the Kiddusha of the animal to another animal, and that second animal would indeed be Kadosh. So the Gemara went back and forth to try to understand what's his question. If it's a Korban Yahid, seemingly, for sure it's subject to the laws of Temura. And the Gemara said, well, it's a Korban Yahid, but it's affecting a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are getting Kapara. Aharon, his family, Bnei Aharon, the tribe. So therefore, since it's a collective Korban, or it's a Korban with Shutafut, or there's a partnership in the Korban, so therefore there was a side to say that maybe it's not subject to Temura. Or how do you look at the partnership? Maybe you look at the partnership as a floating partnership, as the Gemara called it. Meaning, Aharon, or the Kohen Gadol, is the one that's getting the Kapara, and they're just tailing on to his Kapara. But it's really the Kohen Gadol. They're just, derech agav, it's just that they're floating on the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, it's really considered a Korban Yahid legitimately, and therefore there's room to say that there would be Temura. That was the Rabbi Azaz back and forth. At the end, the Gemara brought a Braita, which was the main proof to this subject. Basically, the Braita says, there's two types of Korbanot. There's a Zevach, and there's Temura. Zevach is a regular Korban. You sanctify an animal as a Korban. It can be one of three Korbanot. It can be a Korban Ola, it can be a Korban Shelamim, or it can be a Korban Hatat. Those are the three different types of Zevachim that are applicable ben biyachid, ben bisibur. There's a korban olat yachid as well as olat sibur. There's a korban hatat yachid and hatat sibur, as well as shelamim are brought as a yachid, as a sibur. So there were, those are the options that the word zevach can mean. Now, the Gemara said, sometimes zevach is more stringent than temura, and sometimes temura is more stringent than zevach. That's for you, the stringencies. Zevach is more stringent in the sense that what? That first of all, you can mechalel Shabbat, it's dochei Shabbat. Number two, it's dochei tum'ah, it's the kohanim or teme'im. And number three, you can make a temura on a zevach. If you have an animal, you can transfer the kiddushah to another animal. Mashi'en ken b'temura. Meaning, on temura, any animal of temura is not mechalel Shabbat. You don't dochei Shabbat for it, you don't dochei tum'ah, and you can't make a temura from a temura. You know, there's not a transfer from a transfer, right? Now, the Gemara then went the other way and said, Timura sometimes is more stringent than Zebah. In which case, so let's review that, it's a very important law. The law says like this, an animal can have one of two kedushot, kedushat aguf, which is intrinsic kedushah, or kedushat damim. That's kedushah, monetary kedushah. The difference between kedushat aguf and kedushat damim is, let's say you have a regular zebah. You sanctify it, it becomes kedushat aguf. Meaning, you can go on the mizbeach now. Now it became a baal num, after you sanctified it. Now you have to redeem it, because there's still kedushah on it. When you take the redemption, you know, you turn, let's say you take the kedushah off the animal, put it on money, the animal now is permissible for you to slaughter, it's permissible for you to eat it. But since that kedushat aguf, you cannot use the shearings of the animal, gizot, nor can you work the animal. It's gizrat katuf, which means something that is kedushat aguf, that you remove the kedushah of it, it remains kadosh for certain things, even after the redemption. It remains kadosh for the gizot, and kadosh for avodah. Now, if you take that same zebah, and let's say you sanctified it, you made it kadosh when it was a baal mum. And it was a baal mum to start off with. And you made it kadosh. Automatically it has only kedushat damim. By it having kedushat damim, when you remove the kedushat off, the kedushat totally goes off. Meaning, not only for shaitan achila, but even for the gizot, and even for the avodah. Mashi'enk and betemura, even a baal mum, you're transferring a kedushah of one animal to another animal. The second animal is called a timura. If that animal is a baal mum going in, and you sanctified it as a timura baal mum, it has kedushah taguf. So it's more stringent in that sense than a zeba. Meaning if it has kedushah taguf, if you want to take it off the kedushah, you can by pidyon, but it'll remain kadosh legizot, and it'll remain kadosh v'avodah. So that's where timura is more hamur than zeva. So the Gemara, if that was the skeleton of the braita, so then the Gemara said, okay, what type of zeva are we talking about? Zeva is a general word. Which zeva are we talking about? So the Gemara said, well, if we're talking about a regular korban yachid, well, it's not going to make sense, because a regular korban yachid is not duhe Shabbat. And one of the things you're saying about Zebah is it's Duhay Shabbat. So it can't be a regular Korban Yahid. Oh, so you tell me it's a Korban Sibur Shekabu Alozman. Oh, very good. Sibur Shekabu Alozman, for example, would be Duhay Shabbat and Duhay Tum'ah. Good, but the Gemara says if it's a Sibur, it's not subject to Temura. So we're stuck. Give me a case where you have a Korban that's brought by Yahid as well as by Sibur that has all these three Humrot. So the Gemara, you know what we're talking about? A par hatat of the Kohen Gadol. Now, the par hatat of the Kohen Gadol is a Korban Yahid. It can also be brought as a Sibur. You do have hatat Sibur. Very good. And the par hatat of the Kohen Gadol, being that it's Kavu Azman, it is going to be Dohe Shabbat, it is going to be Dohe Tum'ah, and since it's a Yahid, it will also be subject to Temura. So we found the perfect case of a Korban Zeva Yahid that has all three Humrot. And what does that do for us? Once already established that we're talking about a par, that answers Rabbi Elazar's question. We want to know, a par of a Yahid, is it subject to Temura or not? The par of the Kohen on Kippur, based on the way we're interpreting the Braita. Yes indeed, it is subject to Temura. The Gemara came along and rejected. The Gemara said, who said, maybe we're talking about a Korban Ola? What do you mean? The Kohen Gadol on Kippur brings an ayil le'olah. Maybe the zebah and the braita was talking about not the part of the Kohen Gadol, which is the hatat. It's talking about the ayil that he brought as a yachid le'olah. Now that fits into our qualifications. It's a korban yachid that can also be brought as a sibur. There is olat sibur. Now the ayil of the Kohen Gadol on Kippur, since it's kavu azman, it'll be duhay Shabbat. It'll also be duhay tum'ah if everybody was tameim. And since it's a yachid, it's subject to Temura. So therefore, don't get involved with par. I could learn the braita that's talking about a different animal. It's talking about the isle of the Kohen Gadol. And then the Gemara goes a step further. And I'll prove it to you that you can't be talking about a par. Because first of all, I could just knock you off and talk about something else. But now I'm going to prove it to you methodically that for sure it's not talking about a par. Why? Now the Gemara says, because the braita will not make sense if it's talking about a par. Why not? Because the Braita says like this, Zevah has these three stringencies, these Humrot, over Temura. Now once you lock in the case that it's talking about a par of Yom Kippur, if you're going to lock that in, So what you're saying is that the part of Yom Kippur is the Shabbat, Mashe'enkim b'tmura. Meaning, if you have a timura of a par of a Kohen Gadol, meaning, let's say you had the par and you transfer the kiddush, that would be considered the timura of that animal. So it's not subject to Hilul Shabbat. Good, we know the rule. Timuras are not overriding Shabbat. But that would imply, but during the week, you can bring it. Which means, let's say you have a hatat, not the part of a Kohen Gadol, you have a regular hatat yachid that you made a timura to. It's mashma that you cannot bring it on Shabbat, but you can bring it during the week. The Gemara says that's not so. Because the law is a timurat hatat goes limita. You could never bring a timurat hatat. So the implication of the bright that would be wrong if you're learning is talking about a par. Because if you're learning you're talking about a hatat, so you're telling me, well, the hatat of Kippur, Duhai Shabbat, Duhai Tum'ah, beautiful. Mashe'enkim b'tmura. What are you saying, Mashe'enkim b'tmura? What you're saying is that a hatat of Yahid, right? Let's say, it's not going to be Duhai Shabbat, we know that, but it's mashma during the week, but if it's not a Shabbat, you can bring the timura of a hatat. That's not so. You can never bring a timura of a hatat on the Mizbayah. The deen is a timura of a hatat is limita. Oh, so the Gemara proves that we must be talking about an Ola. We're not talking about a Hatat, but the Timura of an Ola is Timura. It's not, you cannot mechala Shabbat, but you can bring it during the week. Gemara says, no, I don't have to say that. I can really tell you we're talking about a par. Oh, how are you talking about a par? When we said Timura, don't think we meant the Timura of the animal we just talked about. When we say Timura, we mean general terms, Timura. And the Braita can be read like this. The part of the Kohen Gadol, which is a Hatat Yachid, is Dochei Shabbat, is Dochei Tumah, and is subject to Timura. Mashe'enkim b'timura, meaning, not the Timura of a Hatat. In general terms, anything that is Timura is not Dochei Shabbat, not Dochei Tumah, and you cannot make a Timura l'timurato. Meaning it's not going on the specific case where you're going to start making an implication that is problematic. No, meaning, you'll never find, at least by any case of Timura, Duhai Shabbat, Duhai Tum'ah, and to make a Timura. So it was not specific the word Timura. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, you want to generalize the word Timura? So generalize the word Zebach. And then when it says, this Chumrot by Zebach, don't learn it specifically by the Par, just say, the rule by Zebachim is by things that you made Kadosh. Well, you have some of them that are Duhai Shabbat. That would mean if it's Kavua Zman, as well as Duhai Tum'ah. And they're also subject to make Timura. But you just like you're generalizing the second part of the Bright and generalize the first part of the Bright. And again, what do you lose by generalizing now? Now already you have no proof any parts. Our whole thing is we tried to bring this Bright. I'll prove you that a part of the Hatat of the Kohen Gadol is subject to Timura. No. Now we're generalizing everything. We're not specifically talking about one Qurban. Gemara's conclusion was, you can't generalize Zebach. Where you can generalize Timura, you can't generalize the word Zebach. Why? Because the end of the Braita is going to be problematic if you're talking in general terms. Why? Because the end of the Braita said, Masha'en ken bitmura, meaning, I'm sorry, Timura is more stringent than Zebach. How? The Gabeh Kedushat Aguf and Kedushat Yahid, like we explained. That you could make a kiddushat aguf, even by a baal mum of temura. Masha'enken, but zevachim. Now, if you're talking about general zevachim, it's not so. Because there are some zevachim that also, when they're baal mum, you can make kiddushat aguf. And they are ma'asir and bechor. Meaning, ma'asir is the tenth animal that you have in your herd, right? It goes through the gate, and you brand it as the tenth, that's considered ma'asir. Even if that ma'asir behema is a baal mum, the kedusha goes on it, kedusha taguf, and therefore when you redeem it, it remains as su de giza and for working. So there, and another case, bechor, because the firstborn animal, let's say from the sheep. Now what happens? The firstborn animal is kadosh, even if it comes out of baal mum, as kedusha taguf. So therefore, if you're talking about a general terminology, it's not going to make sense. You're going to say tiburaz mo hamur than zevach. It's not so. General zevachim, also some of them, also have the same rule that what this kiddushat go by baal mum. So you have to say it's specific. You have to say legabe hatat, it is more hamur. Meaning the timura is more hamur legabe hatat in the sense that timura if you sanctify Sremetz Baal without Kiddush HaDaguf, Masha'enken, the Hatat, that's correct. If you take a regular Qurban Hatat and you sanctify when it's Baal Mum, it's not going to have Kiddush HaDaguf. But if you use general terms in the general umbrella of Zevah, there are some animals that also have the same rule as Timurash. You cannot see Timurash more Hamud than the general Zevahim. So therefore the Gemara concluded, therefore we're back to the understanding that the word Zevah on the Braita was a par. And it can be talking about the part of Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol. Very good. And what does it say in the Braita? It's subject to Timura. Oh, that's already an answer for the B. El Azaz question. Now we begin the Gemara on the Aleph. Ul Rav Sheshat, according to Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat was the rabbi that wanted to learn the Braita that was talking about the Ayil. That was talking about the ayil that Kohen brought on Kippur, ayil le'ola. Ad demukim la be'elo shel Aharon. He gave us an option to establish the word zebah on the braita. That was talking about the ayil of Aharon that he brought le'ola. Lukme be'pesach. For the same logic, you could have established the braita that was talking about korban pesach. Because what are you looking for? You're trying to find a korban yahid. That's Nochei Shabbat, Nochei Tum'ah, and you can make a Timura. Pesach has the same qualifications. Now you'll ask, why is Pesach better than what he said? I mean, bottom line, he gave one example. So you say, go say Pesach. What's the difference? Bottom line, he found a good example. So Tosfot points out, because by Pesach, Korban, it says the word in the Torah, Zevach. V'amartem, Zevach, Pesach, hu. So therefore, since the word of the Braita is Zevach, it would be better to use the Qurban that the Torah specifically calls a Zevah. The Torah does not call the Qurban of Aharon, of the Ayil on Kippur, a Zevah, even though it is a Zevah, but doesn't call it that. So therefore use a Qurban that the Torah specifically uses the word Zevah. So therefore the Gemara says, the Duhet Shabbat, we know Qurban Pesach is Duhet Shabbat, the Eta Tum'ah, right, it's Tochet Tum'ah as well, the Sibur is Tameh. Ve'ose Timura. And it can also make a Timura. So the Gemara says, the Korban Yachidu, because it's considered a private Korban. And we know anything that's a private Korban, it's subject to Timura. So again, Rav Sheshat, why did you jump to Ayil? Give a case where the Braita might be talking about a Korban Pesah, which has all the ramifications. Comes the Gemara and says, Kasabar, technical problem. Rav Sheshat holds, and shochatina Pesach ala yachid. If you remember, we looked at Masechet Pesachim. There's one opinion that says you cannot have one registrant on the Korban Pesach. You have to have at least two. And they learned it from Pesukim. Oh, so once already you have to have at least two registrants on the Korban Pesach, it's not a yachid anymore. Meaning it's not subject to Timura. Because we know it's partners. And we know that any time you have partners on a Korban, like we learned, there's no Timura, so that cannot be the case. So Pesach is knocked out from a technicality. Which means, yes, it's a Korban Yachid. Yes, the Chavarat is Zochei Shabbat, it's Zochei Tum'ah. You can't make a Timura on it, according to Rav Sheshat. Why? Because he holds like the opinion that says you need at least two people on the Korban. Let's just read Rashi for a second. Kasabar in Shochatin Pesach ala Yachid. That's towards the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Achiv Masechet Pesachim, v'yalif le melo tuchal lizbor et haPesach be'achad. Right? He learns the Pesach. You're not allowed to store the Pesach be'achad, meaning with one. V'kevan de'en oba be'lo shutafut, en oseh temura. Once already he has his partners, so there's no temura. So the Gemara asks, v'nukme be'pesach sheni. Alright, let's go talk about Pesach sheni. Which means we know if a guy was Tameh the first Pesach, right? So he has to bring a, you know, he has the option to bring a Pesach Sheni. Now, the Chavra Pesach Sheni, since it says the word Bemo'ado by it, Zdochei Shabbat, it'll be seemingly, and this is the discussion now, the coming up Gemara, it'll be Dochei Tum'ah, and also, since you're allowed to bring it as an individual, you don't need it to bring it as a partner, so therefore it'll be Shayach to Temura. So say the case was talking about Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, "Mi dache tum'ah." Hold it. A Pesach Sheni, could you bring it betum'ah? I mean, one of the chumrot we're saying is what? That this zeva you can bring betum'ah. Can a Pesach Sheni brought betum'ah? We know Pesach Rishon, if the majority of the people are tume'im, it's doche. But can Pesach Sheni be brought? Why? The Gemara says, "Amar le Ravuna be le Rav Yoshua le Rava." Oh, so that's it. So the Gemara says, it's not Duhay Tum'a. Therefore, that's why you cannot pick Pesach Sheni. Amar de Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua le Rabba. V'tana, mai shena Pesach dekari le korban yachid, u'mai shena hagiga dekari le korban sibur. Now, if you remember in the Mishnah that we had on Nun Amud Rishon, yesterday's daf on Amud Rishon, there was a brayta that said like this: Korban Pesach was considered a Korban Sibur. Now, why would we consider Korban Pesach? I'm sorry, we considered Korban Hagiga. I review Korban Hagiga. That's the Korban that the people brought under the Galim. We consider that a Korban Sibur. We put that in the categories of Korban Siburs. We said, you have Par He'alim Davar Shel Sibur, you have the Sa'id of Avodah Zarah, and you have Hagiga. So why is Hagiga considered a Sibur? Seems it's brought by the individual. So explanation is because it's brought with throngs of people. It's brought at it, you don't bring it alone to the Beit HaMikdash. At the time you're bringing your Hagiga, there's thousands of people in the Beit HaMikdash also bringing Hagiga. So the Gemara says, for the same logic that you call Hagiga a Sibur, because of the populace at the time that they're bringing it, so Pesach, Korban Pesach should also be called a Korban Sibur. So as we learned in Masechet Pesachim, the whole Azara was filled with people at the time they brought the Korban Sibur. So therefore, if that's your qualification of Sibur, so the Korban Pesach also qualifies. So that's the Gemara's question again. So I read that inside. V'tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, Maishena Pesach dekari le Korban Yachid, u'maishena Hagiga dekari le Korban Sibur. Imishum de'ate b'kenufya, if you're going to tell me, because Hagiga comes with throngs of people. Pesach name ate b'kenufya. Pesach also comes with throngs of people. So the Gemara says, "Ika Pesach sheni delo ate b'kenufya." It's referring to Pesach sheni, because Pesach sheni does not come with throngs of people, obviously, which means it's only brought by the individuals that were tameh. So when the Mishnah says that Pesach is a Korban Yachid, it's referring to Pesach Sheni. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Le. So the Gemara says, Ravuna Bered Rav Yehoshua says, Im Ken, if you're saying that the Braita was talking about Pesach Sheni, Yehe Dochet HaShabbat Ve'et HaTum'ah. If you're calling it already a Korban Yachid, Pesach Sheni, you're calling it a Korban Yachid, right? Because it's brought by an individual. And we know that it's bound by time, because the Pasuk says, B'mu'ado. So seemingly, it should be Doche Shabbat, because B'mu'ado. It should be Doche Tum'ah. And the question that is, over there we said that what? It indeed, it'll be Duhay.
Shabbat and Tumah.
Right, Shabbat and Tumah. So Gemara says again, Amar le imken yehe Duhay ta Shabbat veta Tumah. Now we know that the Halakha is not like that. Halakha says that Pesach Sheni is not Duhay Tumah. But again, according to what you're saying, because if you remember that Mishnah that we learned above, one of the things that we said in the Mishnah when we were trying to categorize Korbanot, we said if it's considered a Korban Sibur, or it's considered a Korban Yachid, that's Kavua Lozman, what do we say about Korbanot that are Yachid, that are Kavua Lozman? It's Dochei Shabbat, and it's Dochei Tum'ah. So you're saying, well, if you're classifying Pesach Sheni as that Korban Yachid, that's Kavua Lozman, it'll be Dochei Shabbat, it'll be Dochei Tum'ah, but hold it, we don't hold like that. Which means there's the opinion of the rabbis that hold that Pesach Sheni cannot be Dochei Tum'ah. So how can you say that? So Gemara says, Amar Le'in, says yes. There's going to be opinions that will indeed hold that Pesach Sheni will be Dochei Tum'ah. Keman de'amar Dochei. Following the opinions that hold, it's Dochei. D'tanya, Pesach Sheni Dochei Ta Shabbat ve'eno Dochei Ta Tum'ah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af Dochei Ta Tum'ah. So it comes out we have a great Mahloket Tanaim legabe Pesach Sheni. Some opinions will say, yes, it is Dochei Tum'ah. And some opinions say it's not. So the author of the Mishnah above that wanted to say that it is not Dochei will be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the opinion that wants to say it is following obviously the Tanakama of this Braita. Gemara says, "My Tama the Tanakama." What's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda of this bright over here says Af Duheta Tuma? So the brighter that says of the Mishnah that says above the opinion that hell that it's Duheta Tuma is following Rabbi Yehuda, and the opinion that said it's not is following the Tanakama of this brighter. So comes the Gemara and says, "My Tama the Tanakama." What's the logic of Tanakama that says Pesach is not Duheta Tuma? It's a simple logic. Amalach. The whole reason why you give him a chance to do Pesach Shini is why? Because the first time he was Tameh. Now you're going to let him bring it a second time Tameh? The whole reason why we let him take a makeup is because we don't want him to bring it Bitumah the first time. Now you're going to let him bring it Bitumah the second time? So he holds Pesach Shini's got to be done Bitara. What does the other rabbi say to Biuda? Amar Necha, Amar Kera, the Pasuk says, Kechol Hukat Pesach Ya'asu Oto. Pesach Sheni models all the laws of Pesach Rishon. Va'afilu Betum'ah. Which means if it's modeling all the laws, just like Pesach Rishon can be brought Betum'ah sometimes when you have majority of Klai Yisrael Tameim, so too will say when you're allowed to bring Pesach Sheni, meaning when you have the minority of the people or the minority of the people that weren't able to bring it, let's say, so we're going to tell you can also be brought Betum'ah. So the Kechol Chokot Pesach connects the Pesach Rishon to the Pesach Sheni. Again, can Pesach Rishon be brought Betum'ah in some cases? Yeah, we have Rov Tum'ah. Now, if you don't have Rov Tum'ah, right, if you have, let's say, Mi'ut Tameim, so they're pushed. So just like there was a case where Timi'im would have been able to be bringing a Pesach Yishon Berov, so therefore when you allow Pesach Sheni to be brought, which is Yad Mi'ut Timi'im, so therefore we'll allow you to bring it Betumah as well. Okay. So Kavz Gemara says, HaTorah Yechzirah Alav La'asoto B'tahara. The Torah would rather him bring it B'tahara. Which means, the reason why we're letting him do a Pesach Sheni is to try to bring it B'tahara. He was Tameh Pesach Rishon. What do we tell him? Wait till next month. Why? The Torah wants to bring it B'tahara. Lo zakha? But if he didn't have the zechut to bring it B'tahara, Ya'asenu B'tumah. So he doesn't miss the mitzvah in totality. So let's keep in your records a very important machloket gabi Pesach Sheni. Can Pesach Sheni be brought B'tumah or not? That's machloket Tanaim. Okay, the Gemara now goes back to the B. Elazar's question on the last daf. That's what viewer's question. Elazar's question was the Korban Par Hatat of the Kohen Gadol on Kippur, is it subject to Timura or not? What was the Safek of his question? How do you look at the Kapara of the other Kohanim that are enjoying Kapara from this Korban? Do you say that when the Kohen, so to speak, bought the Korban, he bought it as a partnership for everybody else to get kapara as well, therefore it's considered like a shutafut, and therefore there's no timura? Or do you say no, he bought it for himself, and he gets the kapara himself, but I gave him, everybody else takes on and gets a kapara as well, but that way we consider the kurban yahid. That was the Bil Azar Safik. So the Gemara was trying to find proofs, is there timura, is there not timura? The Gemara said, hold it. Why don't you solve your dilemma from the following verses? Why? V'tipukle, proof to us over here that what? Prove to be the Ezer or be Azad that what? That the kapara is agav. How? The asher lo amar rahmana. Three times in Parashat Acharemot, when it's talking about the part of the Kohen Gadol, it says asher lo, asher lo, asher lo. Again, that belongs to him. That belongs to him, that belongs to him. Why? So the Gemara says, Mishelo hu mevi. To teach me, he brings it from his own money. The Tanya, because we have a brayta. Ashelo, Mishelo hu mevi velo mishel sibur. The first Mishelo teaches us that it comes from his pocket and not from the pocket of sibur. Yachol, lo yavi mishel sibur. Yeah, maybe you'll say, yeah, the sibur doesn't pitch in. Why? Shein asibur mit kapirimbo. Because they don't have a chilek in the kapara. However, aval yavi mishel echav hakohanim. But maybe his brothers, the kohanim, pitch in. Why? Share echav hakohanim et kapirim bo. Because the brothers, his kohanim, do have a chilek in the kapara. Tamud lomar asher lo. So the second asher lo comes along and says, not only the sibur doesn't have a chilek, but even his brothers, the kohanim, don't have a chilek. Yachol lo yavi Maybe you'll tell me, yeah, like a tahila, the brothers don't have to pitch in. But if they wanted to donate with the avad, the qurban will be kasher. Tamud omar shuv, asher lo. Shana katuv alav la'akif. The fact that the pasuk a third time says asher lo teaches us not only that they don't have to donate, but they can't donate. So it comes out, the only one that's allowed to pay for the par atat of the Kohen Gadol is the Kohen Gadol himself. Again, the first asher lo knocks out Sibur. Yisraelim, regular people. So I can argue, I say, okay, and I understand why they're knocked out, because they're not connected to this Qurban anyway. They're not getting kapara. But maybe the brothers, the Kohanim, they got to be in. Because again, asher lo, it's got to be his. Right? So you knocked out even the brothers, Kohanim. So now you come along and say, yeah, but maybe it means they don't have to pitch in. But if they pitched in, meaning they went partners with him, it's okay. Asher lo, a third time we're telling you it's ma'akiv. They can't pitch in. Oh, so now the Gemara says, if that's what the asher lo teach us, according to this logic, that you want to tell me, that the brothers are only getting kapara, you know, derech agav, that the other Kohanim are just getting floating on the Kohen Gadol's kapara. Ehab Kohanim, idelav dekanu begave. If you tell me they don't have a chelik in the Kohen Gadol's animal, hechi mechapelu. Which means you're telling me they didn't pay a penny, they didn't, there's no partnership really over here. How could they get a kapara at all? I mean, if you're telling me that the Kohen Gadol, when he buys it for them. As a, here you tell me, no, asher lo, asher lo, asher lo. So the Gemara is just asking, how is that? How does it work? Where a Kohen buys the animal himself, they have no chelik in it, but somehow they're able to be dragged in the kapara. Ela, what do you have to say? Shani begaza de Aharon, when it comes to the treasury, that's begazaz, the bet otzar, the treasury, the Aharon, which means that part that he pays for himself, the afkere rahmana gabe ehav kohanim. Oh, you have to say a chidush here. God, bore olam, is mafkir the korban, meaning he makes it ownerless in the sense that it belongs to everybody else as well. Which means, even though it was paid by the Kohen Gadol himself, and nobody else went partnership, you have to explain the mechanics here. If they have nothing to do with it, how are they getting kapara? So you have to say Borei Olam. In such a Qurban, he opens the Qurban up. It's a spiritual thing here that Borei Olam has to open the Qurban up somehow that other Kohanim will get kapara. So the Gemara says, Hacha gabe temura nameh. So once you're saying that that's the way it works, I can say, maybe regarding the laws of Timura as well, Shani Begazad Aron Dafkere Rahmanaga Behava Kohanim. Maybe since Borei Olam is opening it up to the rest of the brothers, the Kohanim, so therefore maybe it's considered a Shutafut already. Which God makes it a Shutafut over here. And therefore the question is back. Which means, let's review what happened over here. Rabbi Elazar had a Safek. Yeah? Rabbi Elazar Safek. Is it Timura? Is it not Timura? Salvatore Mitz. Vadai is no. Vadai is Timura. You know why? Asher lo, asher lo, asher lo. He's paying it himself. It's coming from himself and all that. So, the Chaura that shows you that it is a Qurban, Yachid. So, comes the Gemara and says like this. What's your Safek? For sure it's Agav. For sure it's Agav. Gemara says, no, maybe it's not Agav. Because how is this working? You have to say that Borei Olam, or somehow when the Kohen buys it himself from his own money, somehow he's calling him and getting kapara. And what do you have to say? Borei Olam, so to speak, partners them with him. That's Afkere Rahmana. Or the Torah, Borei Olam, he partners the other Kohanim. Oh, once you're saying they're partners, Legabe the kapara, that's already going to affect the Temura. So that was the question. How does the mechanics of the Kohanim's kapara work? If you're telling me it's just agav, fine. But it's hard to say the agav because the kaorah, they have no chelik in it. They have to say that somehow they're in. Once Borei Olam puts them in, maybe that makes them partners. Or once they make them partners, then they're not temura. So therefore the Gemara leaves it in Safek again. And now we go. So again, the Bilazah did not answer his question. That question remains in abeyance.
According to one of them. Rav Shishat knocked it out. But yeah.
Correct. Right. That was not conclusive according to Rav Shishat. So his question still remains. Right. We had one derech in the Braita to answer the questions. This is true. Okay, next Mishnah. Now we discuss the Kohen going into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur, as we know, to bring the Ketoret. So Gemara is going to give us the configuration of what it looked like. Mehalech Ba'echal. The Kohen Gadol starts to work in the Hechal. Hechal is the Kodesh. Let's just remember in our brains the configuration of the Beit HaMikdash going east to west. In the east you have what's called the Azara. That's where you had the Mizbeah HaChitzon. As you're walking west, you enter an antechamber called the Ulam. Beyond the antechamber, you had an area called the Hechal. That's the Kodesh, that's where the Menorah is, that's where the Shulchan is, that's where the Mizbeah HaPinimi is. And then as you walk due west, you get into the Kodesh Kodashim. Now we know there was a curtain separating, in the first Beit HaMikdash at least, a curtain separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara now today is going to discuss this curtain or this wall that's separated between the Kodesh Kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim. So it says, Haya me'alech ba'echal. The Kohen Gadol walks in the Echal. That's in the Kodesh. Ad shemagia leben shte haparochet hamavdilot ben haKodesh uben Kodesh haKodashim. Until he gets to the two parochets, the two curtains that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara is going to say, according to this opinion, there were indeed two curtains. Now, how does it work? The curtains obviously were drawn north-south. Okay, because we want to block the Kodesh to the Kodesh Kodashim. Now, what it's going to say is like this. You have one curtain going, let's say, north to south, and at the south part, it's folded in a little, so the Kohen could walk through it. And then there's a curtain behind it that's going south-north, and on the north side, it's opened a little, so he can go through. So he walks, let's say, through the south. He walks through the south, and then he walks the whole south-north, and then he cuts in through the north side. Now, the Gemara is also going to tell us that there was a space, a gap between the two curtains. Not only for the Kohen to walk through, but we'll see that there was reasons why they had a space between. Now, comes the Mishnah and says, Ad shemagia leben shtei haparochet, habavdilot ben kodesh kodesh kodashim. Ubeneihem, between the two curtains, amma. There was the shi'ud of an amma. Practical purposes, we'll say an amma is, let's say, 2 feet. Okay? Rabbi Yosef omer, lo haita ela... Lo hayta sham ela parochet achat bilvad. Rabbi Yosef says, "No, there was only one parochet over there. It was 4 points, and it was thick in amma. He didn't have two. Shere emar vivdila parochet lachem ben hakodesh uben kodesh kodashim. The pasuk says you have a parochet, one, not two. So it's a very important machloket. Again, we're talking about over here bayit rishon." In Bayit Sheni, there was a wall separating the Kodesh Kodashim. But in Bayit Rishon, the discussion over here is, was it one curtain, or was it indeed two curtains? Now wait, comes the... I stand corrected. In Bayit Sheni, you had Parochet, and in Bayit Rishon, you had a wall. The Gemara is going to explain, because in the Bayit Sheni, you had a very tall ceiling. And since the wall was very narrow, it's only like an amma, it would be very hard to construct a narrow wall very high. In the first Beit HaMikdash, the ceilings were not as high. So therefore they used a wall, Bayit Rishon. Again, I stand corrected. Bayit Rishon was the wall, because they were able to construct it sturdily. Masha'enkin and Bayit Shi that had 40 amma ceilings, so you can't build a wall that's very narrow, 2 feet, and build it 40 amma high, 80 feet high, it's not going to go. So therefore they used a curtain instead. We're discussing in our Mishnah Bayit Sheni that had the curtain. Comes the Gemara and says, Shapir ka'amalu Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan. Hey, Rabbi Yosef's got a good contention against the rabbis. You got a pasuk. Vivdila haparochet, right? Torah calls it a parochet, which is one curtain. The Rabbanan Amri Lach, Rabbanan will say, Hani Mile Bamishkan. Yeah, what's that pasuk talking about? That's the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built. You have one parochet. Aval Bamikdash Sheni, right? Kevan de lo Hava'e Amma Teraksin, since in the second Beit HaMikdash, you did not have an Amat Teraksin. Amat Teraksin is a wall built of stones that was the width of an Amat to separate, like you had in Bayit Rishon. You didn't have this Amat Teraksin. Again, Amat Teraksin is the Amat wall.
Thick.
You didn't have that in the Bayit Shini. Why? Like I told you, because the ceilings were too high. Look at the Rashi. Amat Teraksin, Kach Niklit. Kotel Mechitzah Shevsik B'Megdash Rishon. That was the wall that separated the Kodesh to the Kodesh Kodashim. Was called Amat Teraksin. Abad B'Megdash Shini Sheya Gavoa. Now they changed that from Me'a. You got to change that to Mem Amma. Okay, 40. Lo Asau Lefishelo Ayu Obea Ela Amma. It was only thick in Amma the wall. V'ena Yechola La'amod Begova Arba'im Amma. You can't make a 2 foot thick wall 80 feet high, it won't be sturdy. So you just make it thicker. You can't do it. Dechiv, Hakol Bechtab Yad Hashem Alay Yiskil. Shlomo HaMelech says all the measurements that God gave him were exactly to scale, and therefore it wasn't you weren't able to come along now and widen the wall in order to give it stability. So therefore they used a curtain in the second Beit HaMikdash, and that pasuk was referring to the Mishkan. So Kavzi Gevaran says, Obe Mikdash Rishon Hu Dehavai, which means you only had the Amat Teraksin, this stone wall in the Bayit Rishon. However, when they came to build this curtain in the second Beit HaMikdash, Gevara says, Estapeka Lehud Rabbanan Bekdushate. The rabbis had a safek. We know where the Kodesh Kodashim is. We know where the Kodesh is. But this thickness of an amma, of the wall, how do you consider it? Is it Kodesh or is it Kodesh Kodashim? Again, beyond the wall is Kodesh Kodashim to the west. Beyond the wall to the east is Kodesh. That's not a safek. But there's a wall that has the shiur of an amma. Obviously, it had a door, obviously, that you could enter it. Now, that thickness of the amma, was it? Is it Kodesh or is it Kodesh Kodashim? They didn't know. So what they do, the Gemara says, Estapekal Rabbanan Bekdushate. Ikelifnim, is it considered like inside? Hence it would be considered Kodesh Kodashim. Ikelachutz. So therefore, Avut Shtei Parochot. So what did you do? You made two parochot. You made one parochet towards the east, and one parochet towards the west, and you left an amma in between, in order that you leave that area as safek, which is you can't annex it to the Kodesh, you can't annex it to the Kodesh Kodashim, you leave it exactly opened, because we don't know exactly where the border is. We don't know if the border is towards the east or towards the west. So therefore, by building the two curtains, you're able to enclose that Amma and leave it. Because if it's Kodesh Kodashim, we don't want anybody walking into it. Right? So then we gotta close it off. So again, like I told you, they put two curtains going across with an Amma in between. Comes the Gemara and continues.
So Rabbi Meir agrees to that? Rabbi Yosef, I mean?
Now, the Tosfot Yesharim has an interesting point there, and I'll read it. He says, "V'la'asot rak parochet achat klape panim." Why don't you just make a one curtain towards the inside, towards the west? Well, that we understand why not. Because if that Amma is considered Kodesh Kodashim, the Kohen might unintentionally might walk in that area during the year, and you have a problem. So then he says, "V'yevshal asot rak parochet achat klape chutz." Why don't you make one parochet towards the east? Just block it off totally. So he says, "Sheshema kishenichnas shema kohen gadol laktir et haketoret ol azot midam apar midam aser." When he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim to do his work, yaramot al ota amma. He might stand on that amma when he's doing the work, and if that amma is Kodesh, he didn't do the avodah. So therefore, there's no option on putting the curtain towards the east. You're right, by putting the curtain towards the east, you stop the Kohen by unintentionally walking and roaming into the Kodesh Kodashim. But he might not be in when he's in. He might be standing in the Amma area when he's in, and therefore he didn't get in. So therefore the only option is, you got to box off that area by the two curtains. No, the banan. We have a braita. Ben amizbeyach lamenorah haya mehalech. Devre Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're giving the path that the Kohen took as he walked through the Hechal into the Kodesh Kodashim. So the first opinion says, now let's get the configuration of the Echad that he's in. You have the Mizbeach HaPinimi, that is in the center of the Kodesh, drawn out a little towards the east. And then you have in the south, the Menorah, south side Menorah, north side Shulchan. Now, he's got to get to the Kodesh Kodashim. So what's his path? So the first opinion says, Ben HaMizbeach, he walks around the Mizbeach HaPinimi, La Menorah, towards the south side. Okay? So it's again in front of the Menorah. Okay? Walks around the Mizbeach HaPinimi, south, in front of the Menorah, towards the Kodesh Kodashim. Haya Melech, the Vrede Biyuda. The Bi Meir Omer, Ben Shulchan LaMizbeach. He says the opposite. He goes around the Mizbeach HaPinimi, north side. We'll see the opinions in a second. Again, so one rabbi says he walks towards the south side, and one rabbi says he walks towards the north side. Some says, yes, he walks on the north side, but if you remember, we learned the Shulchan was 2.5 amma off the wall, off the northern wall. It wasn't flush against the wall, so there was a little area you could walk by. So the third opinion says he walked on the north side behind the Shulchan. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain all three opinions. Man Yesh Omnim, who's this Yesh Omnim over here? Amar of Hazda, Rabbi Yosehi. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yoseh. The Amar Petha Basafon. Because he learns there was one curtain, like we learned in the Mishnah, and the fold, meaning the opening, was in the north. So therefore it makes sense that he enters on the side of the north. Right? Basafon Ka'e. So technically, he was really head on to the opening. When you're walking behind the Shulchan, you're directly in front of the opening of the Kodesh Kodashim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will say, no, the opening was on the Darom. Now, Rabbi Yehuda has the opinion that there was two parochot. But remember how they were. One was going north-south. So that was the original entry point on the south side. So his original entry is on the south. Then he walks all the way to the north. And then he enters on the second curtain on the north side. So according to the Yehuda, you have to enter from the south in the area of the menorah. Okay, so each one's following his opinion. How does the Gemara says? V'Rabbi Yehuda Malecha Pitcha Bedarom Ka'eh. V'Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, that says he walks between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, which means he doesn't walk behind the Shulchan, he's walking in front of the Shulchan. So what does he hold? Keman Svir Aleh. Which opinion? Which means if you hold that it's in the south, so for sure you're on the wrong side. If you hold it's in the north, the opening, so walk behind the Shulchan. You know, why are you walking in front? You're not directly flush in front of the opening. So the Gemara says, if you also like Rabbi Yehuda, you should enter like Rabbi Yehuda on the south side. If you also like Rabbi Yehuda, that's on the north side, walk straight in front of it. What is he zigzagging? What does he got to walk in front of the Shulchan? You know, so comes the Gemara and says, Le'olam ki Rabbi Yosef svir aleh. He really holds like Rabbi Yosef that the entrance is in the north, and it's one curtain. Ve'amar lecha, but Rabbi Meir is going to say, you weren't able to walk in front, in the back of the Shulchan. Why? Shulchanot safon ve'darom munachim. Oh, if you remember, we learned the Masechet Shekalim, that there were 10 other Shulchanot besides the major Shulchan that Shlomo HaMelech constructed. And they were placed on the northern side of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, how were they positioned? It's a great mahloket. How were they positioned? Let's assume we're going like this opinion that said they were positioned north-south. Now figure it out. You have the Shulchan on the northern side. Okay? Now, to the in front of the Shulchan, on the sides of the Shulchan, going north-south, starting at the wall, you have 5 tables. Each table is 2 amot. 2 amot, table in front of it, table in front of it, table in front of it. So it's 10 amot. Okay? Starting at the wall. So bottom line, the wall is blocked. You can't walk down the wall behind the Shulchan, because
You're gonna get blocked by two rows of other tables. Now, the reason why you had to put them there, why don't you just put them off the wall a little? Just like you put the regular shulchan off the wall a little, 2.5 amma. Put those off the wall a little, 2.5 amma, so you have a little area. Because the law is the shulchan must be in the north. All shulchanot in the north. Now, we know that the width of the hekal was 20 amma. So therefore, you got to get to the halfway point. So by putting it against the wall, it's perfect. Everything is north. Once you go 1 amma off the wall, already the last shulchan is in the south. So therefore, there was no option but to put the shulchanot flush against the wall, and therefore you're blocking the end of the path. So therefore, that B.B.E. is going to say you got no choice but to walk in front of the shulchan. You cannot walk behind it. So comes the Gemara and says, "Mifseka le shulchan." According to the opinion that says it was north south, the shulchan is blocking. Ve'lo mitayile, and therefore he's not going to be able to enter. I'll give you another answer. Le'olam mizrach u'ma'arav munachin. I really tell you, it was east-west, meaning it was going the length of the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, the wall side was opened. So if the wall side was open, why not walk straight down? So he says, Mishum shechina lav orach ar'a le'me'al le'hedya. Hey, you're walking into the Shekhinah's area now. It's not kavod to walk head-on, facing the Kodesh Kodashim. And his eyes now are looking directly at the Kodesh Kodashim. It's not derecher, it's not kavod. So therefore, even if there would be room, let's say, for him to walk, still it would not be kavod for him to walk in that way. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yosef, you say you walk head on, right? You walk on the northern side, straight into the Kodesh Kodashim. Amar lecha, Havivin Yisrael, Shelo Tzlichan Ekatuv Leshaliach. God loves Bnei Yisrael. And you know how he shows us his love? We don't need a Shaliach. Every Jew is able to go and pray to Borei Olam directly, and Borei Olam answers all our tefillot. And therefore, certainly the Kohen Gadol, he's very Habib, he's very endeared by God, because he's the representative of Klal Yisrael to bring the tefillot up. And therefore, Borei Olam, to show that endearment to the Kohen Gadol, says, walk straight in like a person's walking to his house. Walk straight in. Adrabah, that's a sign of the endearment that Borei Olam has. Good. Now the Rabbi Yehuda Nameh, Ni'ud bin Menorah Lakotel. Okay, now the Rabbi Yehuda that says, the entrance of the Kodesh, because it was on the south side. So he said, what did you do? You walked around the Mizbeach Pinimi, in front of the Menorah, then you zigzagged into the... So he says, what do you mean? Walk behind the Menorah. Walk on a direct line, wall and Menorah. So he's that, and you can't answer and say, because you're going to see the Kodesh. You're not going to see the Kodesh, because there's a second curtain behind it.
Right.
So therefore the Gemara says, very practical reason, Meshachare mane. We don't want him to dirty and blacken his clothes from the Menorah. No, because the Menorah has got smoke. So therefore, if he's going to walk at the wall, today's very close to the Menorah. So the smoke of the Menorah is going to get on his clothes, the soot. So then we tell him, walk in front of the Menorah. Now it should be pointed out, and she just says this on the bottom of the Amud Bet, which we know this already, that she's saying, according to the opinion, Rabbi Meir, right? That said, you're going on the Safon side, right? So you have the Shulchan. So he says, you go around the Mizbeach, Pinimi, and you just go straight, according to one opinion, right? You go straight.
According to
Meir. You don't walk against the wall. That's the Biyosir says you walk against the wall. Rabbi Meir, you zigzag. Now, he asks, how could you zigzag? You have the Mizbeach blocking. The Mizbeach Pinimi is blocking between the Shulchan and the Menorah. So as we know, it was not blocking. Because we know that the Mizbeach Pinimi was drawn a little out towards the east. Because we know the Menorah and the Shulchan had to see each other. They had to be mul. So therefore, don't worry about the Mizbeach Pinimi blocking his path. It was really drawn out to the east. And then was able to zigzag around the Mizbeach Pinimi. According to the Meir, being in front of the Shulchan. According to the Yosef, behind the Shulchan. According to the Yehuda, in front of the Menorah. Each one according to their respective opinions. Amen, amen.